because I really felt impressed of the Lord that I needed to repeat some of this, and so we're going to repeat it. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So we see that God blessed man, he blessed Adam, and then the first words that he spoke to him were, "Be fruitful, be fruitful." When you think of all the things that God could have said in that moment, and yet he chose to say to Adam, "Be fruitful," these are basically the words that gave him life. We, I think, get a better understanding of how important our fruitfulness is in the blessing of the Lord upon our lives that enables us to be fruitful. Now, let's take that and jump to the Second Testament, the New Testament, John chapter 15, verse 5 through 11. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." So there's joy in fruitfulness for both the fruit bearer and the fruit receiver. Amen. Father is glorified when we bear fruit, but we also see that we were created by God to be fruitful, and therefore bearing fruit is something that is very fulfilling and satisfying and joy-giving to us. Now, abiding in God is based upon our oneness with him. Abiding in God is based upon our oneness with him. And we said there is a difference between our positional abiding and our functional abiding, just as there's a difference between our positional oneness with God, which is made possible by the new birth. But then there's that functional oneness where we learn to work together with and cooperate together with the Lord so that his purposes can be fulfilled and we can bear that fruit that glorifies him. We know that sin separated us from God, and over time, our focus shifted from being fruitful to doing work. Really, it shifted from being to doing, not just from being fruitful to doing work, but the emphasis went from who we are to what we do, so much so that many people determine their worth and identity by their doing instead of their being. We said last week, believing your worth and identity are determined by your doing instead of your being is a massive stronghold that must be broken and pulled down. Now, I put some of this in my notes because I wanted to kind of help orient you. We were led down this current path of teaching, what I call off script. And what I mean by that is we were prepared notes on one subject and we're teaching on those subjects, and the Holy Spirit led us down that path. And sometimes that happens and we go down that path maybe for 20 minutes or so, and then, you know, we never go back down it again. And yet the Holy Spirit has led me down this path so many times that I finally got the message that he wants us to stay here for a little while. And with that said, there are things that I have mentioned and quoted or referenced, but we've never actually turned to the passage. And so in the sake of, you know, being thorough, and of course, you know, no better words to speak tonight than God's words, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And verses 8 and 9, we're going to look at a few passages from Genesis, and then we'll come back and spend the rest of our time commenting on at least one of them, all right? So Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So who planted the garden? God planted it. who made it grow. God made it grow. God gives the increase. But after he planted that garden, he put Adam in that garden to enjoy what God had planted and made grow and the fruit that had been produced. Now, we'll come back to that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, for sake of time, 15, 16, and 17. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, it's important for us to look at this beginning, this Genesis, to see what God's heart was for us, for mankind, before he created us, when he created us, because we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What happened to the earth happened because of Adam's sin, not because of God's will. So when we see God providing abundantly like this for Adam and Eve, we know that this was what he desired for them and for you and me from before the beginning, after the beginning, and continues to this day. Now, that's very, very important. And I've got some more on that deeper in my notes. That's very, very important because one of the key things the Lord's been saying to us here of late is that he never intended for you and me to pay our own way. He had other plans for us. In Matthew, man, thank you, Holy Spirit. It just keeps bouncing in me. So it's way down in my notes. So give me a minute. I want to pull it up. All right. Can you hang in here with me for a few minutes? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. When I say way down, further down than I thought. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that's some good stuff I'm skipping over right now. Amen. Thank you, Father. There it is right there. Jesus speaking, Sermon on the Mount, first public sermon on this earth, God on this earth as a man. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing?" What is Jesus revealing to us here? That our lives were never meant to be consumed by getting provision. Our lives were never meant to be focused on our next meal and our next change of clothes. God has higher purpose, higher meaning, higher intentions, greater intentions for us than nose to the grindstone, 40, 50 hours a week, just trying to survive. That was not what he meant and intended in the Garden of Eden. That's clear. And that is not what he means or intends for you and me tonight as his sons and daughters in his kingdom. Now, while I'm here, amen, I'm working my way back to where we were. There are, I believe, three key places where we see God's will or what I'm calling God, what God intends to be normal. Remember, one of the things that we've said over the last couple of weeks is be careful who and what you allow to define normal for you. What's normal to this world is not what's normal to God. What religion calls normal and a whole bunch of God's people call normal is not what God calls normal. Most of God's people are living a subnormal, abnormal, below normal life and think that it's what God has for them. We have to look into the mirror of God's word to see what is normal to God, and then we have to lay hold of God's version of normal by faith. We have to do it by faith. Amen. So there are three places I believe we can see God's will for mankind more clearly than any other three places. Or, to use this new terminology, three places we can see what God intends to be normal more than any other places that we look. And those three places are these. Number one, the Garden of Eden before sin. The Garden of Eden before sin. Number two, the earthly life and ministry of Jesus. And then number three, what we know heaven is like right now. Amen. Now see, a lot of people think that the Garden of Eden before sin, the earthly life and ministry of Jesus, and what heaven is like right now, a lot of people think of that as like abnormal, extreme, anomalies, whatever, you know what I'm saying, use these big words, that, you know, that's like this high watermark, but we don't live there, we live way down here. And so we've accepted something that is far beneath, far below what God intends. We've accepted that as normal, but yet the Word of God clearly shows us that God has more in mind for us than that level of life and living. I say it all the time, we'll say it again. Father God is trying to get you to a place in life you cannot get to by yourself. Amen. And it's going to require trusting Him, following Him, listening to Him, obeying Him, and doing what God instructs us and desires for us to do. Now let me get back up here. I'm excited about all this stuff that we have already prepared, but I want to make sure we get to some of these things tonight that'll help us. Praise God. So we see in Genesis 2 that God planted the garden and, He put God spoke to the ground, made every tree grow, pleasant to the sight, good for food. Then we see that He put man in the garden to do what? To tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, right? Freely eat. Come on in. What did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, come on and eat and have bread without price. Amen. God didn't say, come on and eat and there's a jar over by the front gate. It's an honor system, you know, whatever you can afford. Pitch in a little bit. Help us offset some of these expenses. I mean, fertilizer costs money. No, see, no, uh-uh. Come and freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So you've got all these trees that are pleasant to look at and good for food. I can't wait to explain to you what that means. Okay, we're coming back to it. And God says, just enjoy all of them freely. Okay? But that one over there, that one's mine. That was the tithe. That was the part that God gave to them, in a sense, so that they could then give it back to Him. If initially God had said, eat from all these trees, and then 6 months later came and said, I see you enjoying those trees, and I'll be honest with you, it makes me want one. Would you mind giving me one of these trees? Adam was like, God, all these trees are yours. Pick which one you want, right? But that's not how it started. God said, that one's mine. That one's mine. And remember, the Bible, Jesus taught us later that it's when we learn how to be faithful in what belongs to another person, amen, that we qualify for true riches. And so we see, of course, we know that the rest of the story, that Adam and Eve failed that test. But notice the original plan. Normal is tending and keeping. Normal is cultivating. That word tend means to take what's there and to cultivate it and to work with it. Amen. God gave the seed. God gave the ground. God blessed the ground. God gave all these things, right? Enjoy. This is enjoyable work. But now they sinned. So let's go to chapter 3, verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Now remember, God blessed the ground. God blessed Adam. God blessed the ground. That word blessing means God empowered it to prosper. But now Adam has chosen to do his own thing. He's come out from under the blessing. And now instead of working under the blessing, which empowered him to be fruitful, he's lost the blessing. He's lost his ability to be fruitful, but not his desire to be fruitful. He now has a desire that he doesn't have the ability to fulfill. And he's going to spend the rest of his days trying to do something and live up to something and be something, amen, that he no longer is. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You know that metal won't rust in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Lay up treasure in heaven. Moths don't eat. There's no mothballs in heaven. Somebody say amen to that. Praise God. No mothballs in heaven. I was fixing to pull the sweaters out, right? You gotta... Some of those younger generations are like, what's a mothball? Amen. Moths won't eat the silk in heaven, the fabrics in heaven. Metal won't rust in heaven. Amen. And it didn't rust on the earth. Wasn't all this killing and I'm talking about even among the animals until the ground became cursed. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field in the sweat of your face. It's not normal. This isn't normal. This isn't what God intended. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So let me try to summarize just a few things here, okay? First of all, God created mankind to be fruitful, and his blessing empowers us to be fruitful. Our fruitfulness is dependent upon his blessing. Let me say it another way. We can't be fruitful without him. Okay? We can do work, and we can get some results, but that's not the same as God's blessing upon a man or a woman and that empowering them to be fruitful. Sin and the resulting curse shifted us away from being fruitful to doing work. Now, Jesus has taken away our sin and restored God's blessing upon our lives. The blessing that empowered Adam to be fruitful, come on now, is ours once again. I could give you all kinds of verses. We've taught series of sermons on that, but this one really sums it up. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Galatians goes into a long explanation of how Jesus became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham could come upon those who are not biological descendants of Abraham. Now here's the problem, and we've said this different ways, let's say it a different way again tonight. A work-based, toiling mindset still lingers in many of God's children. Our minds must be renewed to a fruitfulness-based, tending mindset compatible with our new nature and identity. And we're not talking about being lazy. But we're also not talking about spending the rest of our lives doing work that has little to no eternal value. So let me try to break this down for you. When I say a tender, I'm not talking about a chicken tender, okay? I'm talking about somebody who tends, all right? So a tender, one who tends, who still thinks like one who toils, will continue to toil in life. What is toil? Toil is painful, sorrowful labor. Toiling is labor with no guarantee of results. Now, this part right here, and I've got notes to keep up with notes on this. I still hadn't settled in on the best way to communicate it. I'm going to try again tonight. Amen. The Holy Spirit's going to help us. Amen. You believing with me? Adam was created to tend in the midst of great abundance, not to toil in lack. He was created. This is normal. 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 Toiling in lack is not normal. Toiling in lack is not what God intended for you and me. He created you and me to tend in the midst of great abundance, not to toil in lack. So tending in great abundance is our birthright. But again, so many of God's people, and listen, I'm going to tell you, the Lord is helping me with this. Big time helping me with this. Amen. I shared with you a few weeks back something that Brother Donald said to me years ago that has really impacted my life, that everything he does from a position of victory and thanksgiving. And financial victory, of course, is a part of that. But the Lord's adding, because in the same way that we do everything that we do from a position of victory and thanksgiving, we should also, everything we do from a position of abundance. I'm not in lack trying to get into abundance. See, that's what drives the toiling. We're trying to stay two steps ahead of the bill collector. We're trying to get a little extra money together for the kids at Christmas. And I'm not, if that's you, I'm not busting you. Just hear me, okay? Please hear me. I do not want you to get to heaven one day. I do not want you to get to heaven one day and come find me and say, Pastor Mark, I sat in your services a week in and week out. I even came on Wednesday nights and you never told me that now that I'm a born again child of God, God has set me just like he created a place of abundance and put Adam in it. He did not put Adam in that garden until he planted the garden and it was a place of great abundance. And then he put Adam in it and he said, now you tend it. And he did not put you and me in his kingdom until he had created a place for you and me to exist in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus working in our lives. My friend, when you were born again, you came out of darkness into the light. You came out of sin into freedom. You came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He put you, are you following me? He put you in his kingdom. There is no greater abundance. There is, oh, help us, Jesus. We're in a kingdom where they paved roads with gold. He put you in the midst of great abundance and said, now you tend and keep. What does it mean to keep? Keep means you're responsible to keep anything out of your heart and life and home and family that would interfere with God's abundance flowing and operating in your life. Amen. I get stirred up about this. He went from tending to toiling. Jesus came to restore us back to what we lost when Adam fell. But we've toiled for so long, we think it's normal. We think it's the way things should be. A toiler, and we're going to get into this more. There's a few things I want to get to tonight before we're finished. I got about 10 more minutes. Can you stay with me a few more minutes? Praise God. I've given you some of this, but the Lord's kind of like, you're going too fast, Mark. You need to slow down. There's some foundational stuff that we need to get to. And so we've talked about some of these differences between a tender and a toiler. Let me get to this. Praise God. A lot of good stuff here. We'll come back to it, I promise. Amen. So let's camp here for a minute. We need to get this foundation in place. And I'm excited, so I'm trying to, all right. So what have we looked at? I'm going to come back to the verse. God planted a garden full of good things first and then placed Adam in the garden. Is that not the pattern that we see? God recreated you and me in Christ Jesus, then placed us in his kingdom and put his kingdom in us. Okay? So again, back to Genesis 2. We'll finish here tonight. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many of you know, listen to me please, how many of you, can you imagine for a moment that that there were fruit trees there that we've never eaten from yet? I mean, you got apples and oranges and bananas and all that stuff, okay? And not dissing, not making light of any of that. All that stuff's good and important. But there was fruit there that's in heaven. And we'll eat it there. And if you're not a big fan of fruit here on the earth, you will be when you get to heaven. All right, so let's try to break it down. Who planted it? God planted the Garden of Eden. How do you think he planted it? Sweat of his face? God put on his old clothes and get a hoe, a pick and a shovel? No, we know from the scriptures how God plants. He plants by speaking. He plants by speaking. How did he create you and me? How did he create everything? He created by speaking, by breathing, by releasing the breath of life. He imagined it within himself, and then he released it from himself by faith with words. Now, if you'll also notice, the food that he prepared for Adam and Eve, the Bible says it was pleasant to the eyes and good for food. Pleasant to the eyes and good for food. Have you ever said, that looks delicious? Have you? Amen. Why is that? It's because we don't just eat with our mouth. We eat with our eyes. And I think we could also include, the Bible doesn't say it, but we know God is big on aromas and how things smell. It's one of the reasons food doesn't taste very good to us if we have a cold, because so much of the flavor and taste of food that makes it tasty and good involves the receptors in our nose and our ability to smell, to see it, to smell it, and to actually taste it and eat it. The Bible says it looked good and tasted good. Have you ever saw a dish that looked delicious until you took a bite of it? One of the long-running jokes around here is Sister Emily Sundberg. She made a pineapple casserole for one of our meals one time, and I thought it was hash brown casserole. Yeah. I mean, it looked delicious. No offense, I'm just not a pineapple guy. Especially when you're expecting taters and you got pineapple, right? But it didn't just look good. It tasted good. It was both pleasurable and desirable. Pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now this word good here in the Hebrew is the word toba, T-O-B-A-H. It's a derivative of the street this church is located on. This church is located on Tove, T-O-V-E Boulevard. The Mazur family, a Jewish family, named this road. And Tove is the Hebrew word for good. When God said it was good, he said it was tov in the Hebrew. Now, toba in the Hebrew, it means also good, but carries with it, listen very carefully now, it carries with it the idea of good, well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. Only the Word of God. It also means convenient. convenient. Why do we go through drive-thrus when we can make a better hamburger at home? It's because it's convenient, right? It's convenient. So the food that God planted and grew and blessed, the fruit that he had for them to eat, was beautiful to look at. I believe it smelt delicious. I believe it tasted delicious. It was well pleasing. And it was convenient. We do not put food in the microwave from our freezer because it's delicious. We do it because it's quick and it's convenient. Again, do you see what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6? Our lives were never meant to be consumed with earning money, going to the... If you got a few minutes, ask Melanie. I'm throwing gas on a fire. Ask Melanie about her trip to the grocery store yesterday. Praise God. Anyway, God help them people. Amen. Praise God. But it's very frustrating. Amen. See, again, God just like on the way home, you know what I'm saying? Just like something better than a Chick-fil-A sandwich, just right there. Just reach up and just grab it. Freely eat. Let's go back to it. I know some. I'm losing some of you. Don't stay with me now. Stay with me, okay? This is how it was in the garden. I'm reading the Bible. It's how it was in the garden, okay? Then with Jesus, people hung around Jesus. They ate good. They ate free. And they had all they could eat with basketfuls left over. Amen. In heaven, do you think you're going to have to get a part-time job in heaven to feed your family? No. No. Reckon the food is going to be good in heaven. You hear people talking about some friends of ours going on a big anniversary trip. And I was talking to her. She does Pam's mom's hair. And I was talking to her about it. And she said, we're going on a cruise. She's never been on a cruise. And I said, well, I've only been on one, but it's a long time ago. It was a franchise that Pam and I owned, and they did their annual meeting. We had a really good year that year, and they paid for us all to go on a cruise and have our annual meeting. And she's, what's she going to ask me about? The food, because everybody hears about how good the food is on the cruise, right? So, man, again, different boats, different folks, whatever, but the food that we had, it was really good, really, really good. Right? Okay. So, you know, again, probably the last thing we think about when we get to heaven, but let me just go ahead and tell you, the food's going to be good there. It's going to really, really be good there, okay? Let's talk about it a little more. You got a few more minutes? So, pleasant to the sight and good for food. Have you ever finished a meal and said, boy, that hit the spot. That hit the spot. Sometimes I think when we say something hit the spot, maybe initially we were thinking, I don't know if that's really, in other words, it surprises us, right? It's like, man, that was so good. That really hit the spot. So what are we saying? We're saying that that meal was well-pleasing. That's what it means. It's like satisfied us. Pam made me some egg salad the other day. I like egg salad. If you don't like egg salad, don't judge me. We can go to heaven together, right? And I ate that egg salad sandwich with some fresh Lay's potato chips. And I told her, I said, baby, I don't think a steak dinner, I don't think I'd have enjoyed it anymore. It hit the spot, right? It hit the spot. So when he says it was good and well-pleasing and convenient, well-pleasing means more than it was just satisfying. It hit the spot. Now, every piece, is it too late to do some thinking? Every piece of fruit God created hit the spot because he created the spot. So we talk about food that satisfies, that's well-pleasing. It's food that The designer of the taste bud created to satisfy the taste bud. God made the taste and the taste bud. He made the flavor and the flavor receptor. God made the aroma and the receptors in the nose to experience and enjoy them. He made the colors and the optic nerve that receives them. The fruit produced by God, by the trees God planted for Adam, was a perfect match for his eyes and his taste buds. Are you following me? You ever heard beauty's in the eye of the beholder? That's a word, that's not a Bible verse, okay? But God is the ultimate artist. When we say creator, I mean literally, in every way the creator. But have you ever figured out, like, in other words, I'm not trying to get too deep on you, heavy on you tonight, but God created the concept of beauty and then created us with the ability to recognize it. We're talking about a perfect match. So pleasant to the eyes and good for food. We look at that. Maybe I've spent too much time on this tonight, but what I'm wanting you to see here though is, because I used to think, okay, full disclosure, people who know me know what I'm about to say. Full disclosure, okay. I'm not a big fruit guy as far as eating it's concerned. I know, okay. I've tried. Man, I watch my grandkids eat bananas. I want to like a banana. I mean, it's a texture thing for me. I don't know what it is, but I've tried. Lord knows my heart. I've tried. Amen. I don't see if you like bananas. I don't want to talk you out of liking them, but it's like it creates its own lubricant when you eat it or something. I don't know. It just gets bigger the more you chew it. It's just like, you know, and so. You know, when you think about like God planting fruit trees, I'm like, man, Lord, where's the meat and taters? You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. But see, what we're not factoring in here is that God made food that satisfied them because he, when I say custom made it, I mean, who else has ever made a taste bud? You know what I'm saying? I mean, nobody. Amen. But it was a perfect match. Stand with me. It was perfect. It was absolutely completely satisfying. I think I probably should have just ended with this, okay? Every piece of fruit God created hit the spot because he created the spot. What am I saying? He knows what will satisfy you. He knows what will satisfy you. Adam thought he knew what would satisfy him. Eve, their sin was different. If you read it carefully, the sin was different. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. I say it this way sometimes. Eve chose the fruit over God, but she thought she was doing something to help her family. The enemy appealed to her maternal instincts. Eat this, you'll be like God. You'll be a better person. So she didn't know that she was already like God and he tricked her. Adam didn't choose the fruit over God. He chose Eve over God. He listened to her instead of God. And he carries the greater guilt in this whole mistake. But notice now, the whole thing is, I know best what will satisfy me. I know best what I need to do. I know best where I need to go. I know best how I need to live. I know best what I need to eat. He didn't. Amen. 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 Father, thank you for this. And sir, you already know things that you've shared with me. So needless to say, more to come. But I thank you, Father, that You created us in a very specific way. You created us for a very specific purpose. And Father, I thank you that you are helping us understand what it means to be fruitful and what it means to enjoy the fruit, Lord, that you have provided for us. And not just physical things, Father. Spiritual things, mental things, emotional. Lord, the fruit of thanksgiving, the fruits of righteousness, Father. The joys of salvation. So many different things, Lord, that you have made available for us to feast on and experience and enjoy. Father, you've put us in the midst of great abundance. And you want to teach us how to be men and women who tend and who keep instead of our whole lives consumed by earning and deserving. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for revealing your truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Remember, communion this Sunday, first Sunday. Again, set your clock back. Most people, I think, use a smartphone for a clock and it does it automatically, but in case you don't remember that, know that you're loved.